Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. So this Friday is February the 2nd, which means it's also the day of a particular holiday that, while it doesn't get a whole lot of attention in this part of the world, I think still it deserves marking. I'm curious if you know which one I'm talking about. Raise your hand if you can think of what holiday comes this February the 2nd. Now keep your hand raised if you're thinking of something other than Groundhog's Day. All right, well, here to tell you that way before Punxsutawney Phil began predicting the weather, the church named February 2nd as the Feast of the Presentation of Our Lord. Learn something new every day. Also known as Candlemas, it marks the day when Mary and Joseph brought the baby Jesus to the temple exactly 40 days after Christmas. In fact, the verses that we just heard read come immediately after the Christmas story in the second chapter of Luke, the story that we heard on December the 24th. As St. Luke describes that, following the law of Moses, 8 days after he was born, Jesus had been circumcised and named. And now, on the 40th day after his birth, his parents are again performing their duty as pious Jews by returning to the temple, this time to offer sacrifice and to dedicate their child to the Lord. No doubt they were filled with a sense of expectancy and reverence, the same way so many parents are here when they bring their first child to be baptized. So it's not hard to imagine the quiet procession they must have made into the great temple, their awe at entering its holy courts, their nervousness as they prepared to sacrifice according to the law. Nor is it difficult to imagine their reaction as an old man comes forward out of the shadows to scoop up their child in his arms and prophesy about him. Probably startled at first, maybe even a bit frightened by the old man's ecstatic face, Mary and Joseph nevertheless yield their child to him because they sense that the Lord's Spirit rests upon him. And hearing Simeon's prophecy, they are reminded of the events of the previous weeks and months when angels and shepherds had intruded into their lives to foretell the destiny of their son. How puzzled they must have been, though, when they heard the old man speak what we now call Simeon's song because of its lyrical, even poetic quality. Don't get me wrong, in many ways it's a beautiful song as it expresses Simeon's gratitude that he's lived long enough to see the long-awaited Messiah, and it captures his hope and expectation that this baby will, when he grows up, bring peace and light and joy not only to Israel but to all the world. It is a beautiful song, not unlike the song the angels sung to the shepherds, promising peace on earth and goodwill to all. And yet each time I hear it, I am still, as I imagine Mary and Joseph were, a little uncomfortable. Listen to Simeon's words again. "Lord, now let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people, Israel." Beautiful words, to be sure, but also a little troubling. For let's not kid ourselves. When Simeon asked that he be allowed to go, he is asking to die. And so I wonder, why does Luke record this strange scene and song? Why would he move from the beauty and awe of angels singing and shepherds quaking and a baby in the manger straight to Simeon's kind of morbid request for death? Even if we can't know for sure, we might still ask, why do we focus on this request and therefore on death, on this damp and gray of strangely mild January? There's so much struggle, so much darkness in the world. Wouldn't we be better off paying attention to another song, celebrating another holiday? I don't know, maybe Groundhog's Day isn't such a bad idea after all. I mean, at least there's light at the end of the tunnel, spring following winter. But there it is, you see. Death doesn't take a holiday. We cannot ever escape its shadow. Some of you I know have lost a loved one in the last year, and others face that prospect in the months to come. Whether it's a parent to age, or a friend, or sibling, or child to illness, few in this room haven't known some kind of loss. And that's not all we're contending with just now. Whether it's the wars in the Middle East, or Ukraine, or the divisive politics that looks like promises to be a very long election year, there is darkness aplenty. Or maybe it's not some huge issue that you're contending with. Maybe it's just a setback at work or school or a disappointment at home. Something that makes the future feel a little less certain. Whatever it is, none of us is exempt from the struggles, disappointments, and setbacks that are part and parcel of life in this world. And Simeon is no different. He's an old man. He's been around the block more than a few times. And so we can imagine that he has tasted love and loss, joy and despair, hope and fear, just like you and me. And so he sings of death simply because he can't help it. He, like us, lives with it every day. But here we should take note. This isn't just a matter of simple or stark realism. Luke is clear that Simeon is able to speak of death and darkness so honestly only in the light of the coming of the promised Messiah. Only, that is, in confidence that in this helpless child, God has come to redeem Israel and to save all the world. Jesus is, as Simeon sings, a light to all of us. Lord, he says, now you can let your servant go in peace, for your word has been fulfilled. Simeon realizes that in the Christ child, God has kept God's promises. That in this baby set for the rise and fall of many, God has acted once and for all to address the question and specter of death with the promise of life eternal. So I think I misspoke earlier. It's not that Simeon asks for death, but rather that he accepts it with courage and confidence. He does so, again, only upon seeing and holding God's promise in his hands. The promise granted to him and to all of us in the Christ child. For this infant, the baby lying in Mary's arms, is God's promise made flesh. And he will soon grow into a man who preaches and teaches God's love for all, who heals and feeds, who listens and cares. And when all that isn't enough, he will go on to bear nails and spear, scorn and cross, even death itself. And on the third day, he will be raised. And all of this, the preaching and the teaching and the healing and the suffering, dying and rising, he does for us, that we might live with hope and courage in this life, as well as in the life to come, because Jesus is God's promise made real. Now, promises, I know, can at times feel like such small, even fragile things, too easily spoken, too quickly broken, and rarely is that more apparent than during an election year. Yet while fragile, even weak, promises can also be powerful. I was always amazed that when I promised my kids that we'd play a game or go outside to throw the ball after work, when I got home, everything was ready. Mitt and glove were by the door, the cards were already on the table. They'd heard and believed that promise, and my words set everything else in motion. And if that's true with the promises of an ordinary dad, think how more true, more powerful are the promises of our Heavenly Father. Martin Luther got at this a bit when he spoke of the weak word of the gospel. Weak because the promise of God's action on our behalf comes through words, mere words, my words, your words, the words of Simeon and Luke. And yet these same words do create faith and hope, courage and compassion. They set us in motion, send us out the door to love and care for others. And through those words, we're able to carry on, to persevere, even to flourish, and help others do the same. That's why, after all those years, after all these centuries after the event St. Luke records, we're still listening, even singing Simeon's song, because it announces the promise of God's tenacious, even ferocious love for each and all of us, for the whole world. The promise that God will be with us and for us forever, the promise made flesh and resting in Mary's arms. And so on this damp, gray day in January, with shadows growing abroad and whatever you may be wrestling with closer to home, we gather in faith and confidence created by the promise contained in God's word made flesh, and make Simeon's song our own. Lord, now let your servants depart in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. We have seen your salvation, a light to all the nations and to us. Thanks be to God. Amen.